You're now listening to La Verdad Podcast. Bueno, mi gente, we're back at it with another week of La Verdad Podcast. And it's been an eventful weekend because we actually been doing a couple of different shows today. So you'll hear us kind of going through the same dialogue of what it is living here in Chicago, since we're doing this show directly in Chicago. And we also have the girls with us today as well. And they're going to be chiming in some of the stuff that we're going to be talking about. So how are you?
Hello, hello, hello.
Oh, we just had lunch. Feeling good now. Now I'm not thinking about food anymore.
Yeah, you know, sometimes when you're in an empty stomach, you get hangry.
So you start. Exactly. I had attitude.
You start kind of like forgetting what you're talking about and going through like jumbling your words in your mind. But right now we're full. So
yeah, we're good.
Nati and V Fig are joining us again. And I'm very happy to have a longtime friend. I haven't seen him in about, what, 6-7 years since you graduated. I have Richard Brown here, who is actually part the CEO, I want to say, or CEO of Hope for a Better Tomorrow. And not only that, but this man does everything from what I remember. And I'm glad that you're joining us today. Thank you for coming through. I know that it was kind of short notice, but I'm happy that you came by, man.
Man, Christian, I'm glad you invited me. It's good to see you, bro.
Yeah, man, it's been a while.
Years, so it's good to see you again. It's good to see that you're doing well and everything.
Thank you.
Thanks for having me, man. Look forward to, like, just rap chat. I'm hangry.
I'm sorry. I just talked about food. Y'all didn't eat yet. I'm sorry.
While you're bragging about eating, I'm sitting here hungry, starving.
I'm sorry.
I got one of my mentees with me, Kendall, and he's pretty hungry as well. So we may be jumbling words and a little hangry.
And it smells like food in here, man. I'm so sorry.
Flame broil goodness.
Salted French fries.
Thank you. Rub it in. Sorry.
And you have your mentee here as well. Yeah. How's he doing? How's everything?
I'm pretty good.
Yeah?
Yeah. Like you said, I'm hangry.
And give us a little background. Like, you guys are from the city of Chicago?
So ironically, I didn't notice until just a few minutes ago. Me and Kendall actually grew up in the same neighborhood.
Okay.
In some ways, both from Bronzeville.
Okay.
I'm Chicago Southside, born and raised, De La Salle High School, Douglas, and Bronzeville. Eventually made my way.
Jumbling his words already. Sorry.
Made my way to Lewis, where I met Christian and whatnot. But Chicago Southside, born and raised.
Nice, nice.
You?
Basically, you just sum it up. I'm from Southside all the way.
Okay.
Born and raised. Lived in Bronzeville for about 10 years now. Finna hit that anniversary mark. I love it. I honestly don't see anywhere else other than that. It's a beautiful neighborhood. It's a florist community.
You know what? I was just in the South Side for the first time actually yesterday. I was by Beverly Hills.
We're some North Side people.
And I'm not going to lie. Okay, so I got off the expressway on 9094 on 95th. Oh my God, I can't believe I'm talking like this. I'm horrible with directions. And I the stigma of the South Side, I was really nervous.
Yeah.
So I drove down 95th for a while, and then I was actually pleasantly surprised, and I told the friend that I was meeting with, I was like, these houses are really nice. Yeah. You know, I think my fear from getting off the expressway was... It wasn't necessary, and that comes from the media. Yeah. And the South Side is actually really beautiful in some areas. You know, I didn't see
everything. Not so much. It's just, you know, it's human nature where you don't know or you're not used to it to kind of be uncomfortable.
Mm-hmm.
I've talked to people that, like, grew up in the South Side their whole life, and then they come to Humboldt Park and they're scared.
Yeah.
And to me, it's like, man, I walk around Humboldt Park like nothing. That's home.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Or they come around this area, they're like, oh, bro, like, people were staring at me. It's like, no, like, you know, it's just whenever you're uncomfortable. You know, that's your reaction.
I think a piece of that, too, is we are kind of deceived. We're led to believe certain areas are bad or certain people are bad or certain groups may be bad. But that's not necessarily the case. Southside has been a mecca for especially black people, black politicians, black excellence, black everything. There's some very nice parts of this. Beverly, like you said.
That's really nice. Yeah, that's really nice.
Really
the houses were
else.
Huge. I was like,
yeah.
I think a lot of like African-American pastors live out there, right? That's what I kept hearing.
Pastors, politicians, everybody. I mean, the president of the free world, Mr. Barack Obama himself, lives right on the South Side. I hear he's in town
He is. I wonder if he's going to go to a Cubs game. You know, he is a diehard Sox fan. Richard, you're a diehard Sox fan?
Southside all the way, man. Yes.
You know, I got to pull out a picture of Richard wearing blue and white.
No, don't do
when
it.
We went to a Cubs game.
Oh, yeah. He was wearing blue and white or a Cubs shirt.
Yeah, yeah. So I'm going to pull that picture out. I'll be like, here's your Southside for life.
But it also said Lewis University. So it did.
There you go. There we go.
I'll be going to Wrigleyville tonight.
You're in the area right now, so
Wrigley is a good time.
But too. Brownsville is around where?
So some people Southside is hood Southside. Well, Southside will say it's low end, so it's the upper 20s, the 30s, the 40s, from the lake basically over to maybe State
okay.
Street.
Okay.
So where IIT is at, for people who may not be familiar with the Southside, like IIT is there. White Sox Park is on the border of Brownsville.
Yeah.
Bridgeport. Okay. It's pretty nice here. As you go down 994, you pass through Brownsville.
Okay.
And Lakeshore Drive goes right along the side.
And I know it's like a very working class kind of environment.
Working class. My grandmother still lives over there. The South Side is so diverse. Brownsville is even diverse in terms of income. So there's some nice properties over in Brownsville. There's also some kind of rundown places. Some places that just need a little bit more support.
Yeah.
It's not getting the support like other parts of the city is getting, like downtown, from the mayor and everybody.
Yeah, tell me about it.
That's a whole different conversation. But Southside is dope. It's, in my opinion, the best side.
You know, I used to hang out a lot in the Southside when I wasn't at Lewis University because everybody and their mama was from the Southside.
Yeah.
So I got to meet, you know, I think one of the cool things about the Southside, you know, I'm Northside for life. I love the Northside. But the cool thing about the Southside was, and the best thing I like is the food, man. And they have some great Mexican food down there. And I mean, you find some of the most authentic stuff. And just, it's easy to get around because everything's a number. Yep. You know what I'm saying?
You know where you're going.
Yeah, so I was like, man, this is pretty convenient. Go ahead.
No, just off that, when I got to the west side and to the north side, I was like, what is going on here?
Yeah.
What is that?
Streets cut off.
Yeah. So, We've lived here this area our whole life, and I'm still like, what is going on? Where am I?
The south side crippled me in that way because I'm so used to I look for the numbers. There's no numbers.
It makes it easier, yeah. Okay, numbers are going down.
I rely on my GPS. If my phone don't work, I don't know where I'm going.
So would you say your work is mostly in the south side, or is it all Chicago? Or
so the things that we do, hope for better tomorrow. So I'll just preface this by saying this kind of fell into my lap in some ways. When I was at Lewis, went to Lewis, got a bachelor's in political science, got a master's in organizational leadership, focusing on nonprofit management. Our last project for my grad degree was developing a strategic plan, a business plan for a nonprofit organization. And moved back home, and that's a huge culture shock. Anybody who's been away to college, you feel like, oh, this is utopia. I have an opinion here. This is a real good place to be. Then you go back home.
Yep.
And that's what it was for me.
Life hits you hard.
Life is hard. You see the condition that it's different. I'll tell this quick story. Moved back home from Lewis. At the time, I had long dreadlocks. I'm about maybe 5'11". Thin, single, in case anybody's... No, I'm
just kidding.
He just had to put that out there.
But I could be found on Snapchat.
See again.
No, but so I'm about 5'11", dark, had long hair at the time. I'll never forget a young guy who looked just like me. Same build, same stature, hair, skin complexion. He was gunned down and killed. And I don't want to feed the fear that people may have about the South Side, but he was gunned down and killed basically in front of my mom's house where I was living at the time. And that just kind of gave me a huge reality check to say, Richard, you just can't exist and try to make money and do things for yourself. There's a real need here. There's a real need for some kind of hope, some kind of change in our community. So we started Hope for a Better Tomorrow. And the work that we do really deals with mentoring and volunteerism. So that's anywhere in Chicago, but primarily because what I'm most familiar with is the South Side. It tends to be a lot of activities on the South Side. So every Thanksgiving, we feed the homeless, we feed the hungry, because everyone who comes is not always homeless, but they just may be hungry. They may just lack a family environment. So we feed maybe about 200 people every Thanksgiving, a nice, warm Thanksgiving meal. at the church I grew up at in a very family atmosphere, because not everyone has family around mm-hmm. too in those days, and that can be really depressing. Mm-hmm. So we do a lot of community service. Then we do a big mentoring conference too. Where
yeah.
We mentor young men from any part of the city.
Yeah. And I know that's one of the things we were just talking about is the fact that in Chicago, we need to have that positive outlook, because everything's so negative from the media, and people are always talking about how, you know, there's nothing good coming out of Chicago, and unfortunately, everything you see is a killing. But having a mentor out there, I think, aside from it being either a religious organization or just an organization itself, it's a really good thing to have, you know, nowadays. And that's one of the things that we like to do as a company, is to be able to put the word out there that there is people doing that kind of stuff.
I think that's what it takes, too. I think, and this could just be my skewed view, but I think when you only see negativity, you perpetuate negativity.
Right.
When you only see hood, you perpetuate hood.
Yeah.
Your environment really does dictate where you go and what you become. So it's our hope to really introduce some positivity.
Yep.
With all that's going on in politics and everything else, you can feel real hopeless.
Yeah.
Feel real threatened.
Do you feel like your story of what you saw, do you feel like that's kind of where you got the name, Hope for a Better Tomorrow? Or like,
Yeah, for sure. And that was around the time Obama came to the forefront of things. And his message, of course, was hope.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I think a lot of young people grow up in an environment where they feel like there's not much opportunity for them. They feel like, this is what it is. This is the nature of the environment that I live in, so I have to become this, not knowing there's a real chance, there's a real hope for them to do more than that. So, that you're right. It did kind of feed into where the name came from.
And specifically, how do you give them hope? Like, what do you mentor on? What do you guys do?
So, and Kendall can chime in on this, on how this looks. Well, we do a big conference. In fact, it's coming up soon. It's November 19th. That's a Saturday. It's going to be at Donahue. University of Chicago Donahue Charter School, where Kendall went.
Nice.
But we put together a big mentoring conference, and we bring in positive black male role models to introduce young men who may not see these things. So we bring in judges and doctors and lawyers.
Nice.
College-educated men. So they see things. They can actually see themselves as a police officer instead of just seeing police as the ops or the enemy. They can see, hey, there are black police officers who have my best interest at heart.
Right.
They can see people from a variety of career fields, and then college-educated men. That's the big thing, because I honestly think college changes everything.
Yeah, it does.
It changes a person big time. So when you have that chance to experience something different, you walk away different. You can't walk into college, graduate, and walk back home and be the same person. College just changes you. Yeah. So we try to encourage that whole college piece as well.
Within your experience of getting mentors to come in, has it been hard? Has it been something that you wish a lot more, like, black mentors, black men will stand up and do mentorship programs?
You know, I'm lucky. I'll be biased when I say this. I joined the best fraternity in the world. my frat bros, the men of Phi Beta Sigma Fraternity Incorporated, really come out in droves. Because I think we all live in the same reality. We see the condition of the South Side sometimes. Mm-hmm. We see the condition of communities of color. So they respond to the call to say, hey, we need to go out here and do something. We need to have some kind of positive presence. So they come out by the droves. But then we extend that. So it's not just this conference. Hope for a Better Tomorrow puts on this conference. But Kendall, the way I met Kendall was through our National Sigma Beta Club.
Oh, okay.
So we have a mentoring program that goes all year long. Kendall, you want to say anything about Sigma Betas? What is it like? What do they do?
So, Sigma Beta Club is a youth mentoring program in which prevents juvenile delinquency. Please forgive me, I'm so hungry. also prepares African American young males for college.
Yeah.
And off the back, I'm gonna be like him. I can honestly say these are the best brothers I ever seen to go above and beyond for the South Side, because if it wasn't for them, I wouldn't be the young man I am today.
Yeah.
I was just, you know, a young kid just going to school and home. That was basically it. I was born. And, you know, my parents led me on. They were in my neighborhood. You know, they were doing recruitment.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I wanted to get a feel for it. So I went, you know, to the recruitment place, and, you know, I met them. And art right off the bat, you know, there was an interview process, you know, yeah. check your grades, see how you work. Yeah. Didn't have to worry about that. But what stood out, what they saw, you know, is just, you know, a leader mm-hmm. ready to be, you know, pulled out yeah. from, you know, that, you know, going to home, you know, I can do so much more.
Nice.
So, you know, right off the bat, when, you know, first thing we did was plant new trees on Drexel Avenue.
Okay.
And, you know, it was just a good feeling to, you know, do something for the community. It was, you know, it got to me like yeah. I could do so much more. And so we are Simmons Beta Club is partnership with so many other organizations. And throughout that, each Simmons Beta Club member can expand the network that one yeah. can even see, and two, meet new people. Yeah. You know.
How did you first like hear about them though? Like you said, you just like wanted to check it out, but like what made you want to check it out? Like what grabbed you?
My father came home from work one day. He saw this flyer right where we live, and he was like, hey, there's this, like, you know, you seen it, like, you know, on Stump Y'all movies. Yeah. You see? Yeah. Like, you know, there's these fraternity guys, yeah. you know, mentoring young guys. I'm mm-hmm. like, okay. They got a step team. I was like, okay, let's fill this out. I was like, I was yeah. tired that day.
Yeah.
I was like, okay, so let's go over here. And they showed a video during the orientation, like what they're about. They interact with us, you know. And it was like, it was a good feeling. It was like helping young African Americans be the males that I can honestly say this country needs during mm-hmm. this, you know, this time with the elections yeah. and everything. We need, like, you know, young African American males to like rise up, just mm-hmm. not stay hidden. And that's what these men have mm-hmm. done. They have rose me up. Like now, I'm not in the club no more. I'm still an alumni. But, you know, I still yeah. carry out my giving back works throughout other organizations that I've got to know because of these guys.
Yeah.
That's
yeah. basically. I think what's beautiful to hear is what you said is they brought out the leader in you. They showed you that yeah. was already in you, and they helped bring that out of you.
And I think that that's something that's very much needed within the minorities. You know, you have your Latino and your Black community that... we were just talking about this earlier, that you grow up in this sense of, oh, somebody else would do it for me. Or you grow up with this idea of, I'm not worthy enough to, mm-hmm. to run for office. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And yet you get to see somebody of your same, you know, your same skin color, your same class, yeah. you know, making it big. I like the fact that you guys doing your conference, you're bringing lawyers and because I grew up in this sense of like, man, that's too much for me to be yeah. able to yeah. handle. And I remember talking to Richard because we date back. We were just talking about this earlier. I met Richard at Lewis University, and my mentality at Lewis University was just to, like, go to class, party, or whatever, right? And I remember talking to Richard, he's like, yo, there's a lot of things that happen here on campus that are not for us. They don't do stuff for us. And I remember I got involved with the Latin American Student Organization. You know, I brought in the best fraternity on campus. No, but it's, you know, I brought a Latino fraternity on campus because I felt that I needed to be that mentor for other people. And right now, I'm kind of in the same footsteps. You know, I mentor other people, other young Latinos, to be able to say, hey, you know, you could make money. You could work in this thing that I do. You know, you could have your own company and stuff like that. But I think back to the point of the conversation was that as a community, especially in the Black community and the Latino community, we see a lot of people that live there, but yet they don't have any sense of ownership of what they have. So unfortunately, a lot of things start going unnoticed. Like you said, you guys were able to plant trees.
Yeah.
And now I bet you walk there and be like, yo, I did yep. that. Right? And then you want to take care of it, right? So if you see like stuff around the floor, you might go and pick it up. We need to do more of that for our community.
So where you're from, I think we were talking about this earlier too. Like a lot of people who let's just say become famous, whatever, and get this platform, they don't come back, or they rarely come back to where they're from to help build where they wanted to come out of so bad. So I think that's beautiful that you guys do that, and you're investing in the community of where you're from to better it.
I'm so glad you came back to the city and brought up the organization, because anybody could have stayed in the university that they're at,
mm-hmm.
right? It's kind of like a comfort zone, right? I'm here, I'm going to make things happen. Yep. But, man, when you come to the city, it's completely different.
College trains you to go to be a worker. when you go to college, you major in something so you can go find a job for that thing. Right. Then you end up so much student loan debt, especially when you go to a small private school. Like
oh, God, don't tell me about student loans. We're
all still paying. All this hack that's going on, and nobody's hacked.
I know.
Sally Mae.
That's who needs to be hacked.
I don't encourage hacking of any sort, but if it had to happen, man,
my last name is.
This is the website. This is the address.
My account number
so
is.
I'm curious, though. So, like, okay, so this mentoring, I'm curious because I work for a mentoring agency. So I'm just curious to see how you guys do this. Like, how do you, is it just the fraternity brothers that are their mentors?
No, I'm sorry.
How do you kind of recruit your members? How do you recruit the mentees? How do you guys go about doing that?
Yeah. So there's a lot of organizations that are already out there that have mentoring groups. So we start with them because they are looking for extracurricular. They're looking for something to do with their young men. And they want something where they can expose their young men to other things. They don't have all the resources. So we have a nice population of men who are interested in giving back. We have resources that those organizations may not have. So we invite out Sigma Beta Club members. We invite out Boy Scouts. We invite out other mentoring groups that already exist to kind of supplement the curriculum they already have in place. So that's our first way of getting young men. The second thing is we hit up the local high schools, whatever area we're in. Mm-hmm. So Bronzeville this year. Last year we were at Chicago State. The year before that we were at Emmett Till. So we change neighborhoods every year. But we hit up the high schools in that areas and the grammar schools to invite their young men out. With that naturally comes people who I think that talent at 10th, that W.E.B. Du Bois tells us about, those people who are our leaders, our top 10% of us who are really invested in our communities, they naturally gravitate to what we're doing. So it starts with the fraternity brothers. That's our first line of hands-on people to help out. But we find volunteers, people come running to help out with this kind of stuff.
So you connect with other organizations.
Other organizations. We partner with other groups and everything. We'll look for sponsors in case anybody want to be a sponsor in the organization. sponsoring rates are only... We partner with a lot of people to make this happen. It's really community. That's the biggest focus is bridging the community. Not just saying... And I'll say this quickly. I think you two, I think the guys in here really pointed out that African-American, Latino... Our stories are the same. Mm-hmm. Our destinies are tied together. Sometimes, and even in this presidential debate or this presidential race, people will race bait and encourage divisiveness among groups, which we have to be very careful. I'm back in school now studying African-American studies. Our genetic makeup is pretty much the same.
Yeah.
Black people, Latinos, white people, we're pretty much, so we can't give way to people saying, oh, those people, or we're better, or anything like that. We're pretty much the same. Yeah. There's not much difference between us. Yep. I lost my whole train of thought.
It's funny you brought that up.
Combine them and keep them separated.
We had the Latino representative for Nation of Islam, right? So he works. He came to the show, and he's basically the Spanish speaking right hand man of Minister Farrakhan. So he was explaining, you know, their viewpoint of the Latino and African American, how it's together, right? Yep. Because they're really about against the white man, you know. So not necessarily the white man, how he spoke about it in a very different way, but it made a lot of sense. And he mentioned, you know, this whole divisive mentality that's placed upon us of like, oh, you know, we say morenos, the morenos are over there, Latinos are over here, and in reality, we go through the same struggle. Right, we're kind of going through the same struggle as far as we can't find the adequate resources in our location. Unfortunately, you have people that, and this is where I think the Latino community can learn from the African American community, is that the Latino community tends to get, when we make it, it's like, you should battle hard like I did.
Yeah.
Whereas when I see it in the African American community, they tend to come back and give back. They want to help out. And I see it a lot more evident where you have a lot more African-American leaders coming back to the community.
To make it easier.
Yeah, and I feel like with the Latino community, and we've talked about this in another episode where we have this machista, like this, I want to be the man. I did it my way. You should learn how to do it. You know, lift up your sleeves and do it like I did.
Yeah.
And that's a bad mentality to have to deal with, you know?
I wonder, though, and I'll say grass is always green on the other side. So it may seem that way. From my perspective, I think, man, I wish there was more people giving back. I wish there was more involvement from these big name artists and so on. Even when we see these police shootings, I get a little frustrated when these people are making millions of dollars on shoes, on clothes and everything.
Yeah.
Bought by people of color, but then when issues that affect people of color arise, you don't hear somebody saying
who that's what money off us. That's why Kaepernick is to me was like amazing of what he did. And he's starting to push it to other media, and a lot of people are saying, you know, he really didn't do anything, but in my mind he did, you know, because he took a stance in something that owns Sundays. You know what I'm saying? Everybody watches football on Sundays. The church don't own Sunday no more, unfortunately. So for him to do a stance like that, you know, to me it was a big deal. Because it not only, and he didn't even say for the black people or white police officers, no, he said the police brutality, the police killings, because there's a lot of unanswered police killings out there. And I'm not putting the blame on police officers. I'm just saying there needs to be some type of reevaluation on training or health, mental health, I mean, because there is happening too much. But as far as the community, right, giving back to the community, it's something that I think we're always going to talk about, right? We're always going to kind of say, you know, so-and-so didn't come back. You know, I'm so happy LeBron James, you know, well, he paid for college for a bunch of people, right? You know, I'm just wishing somebody like Dwayne Wade will do that in Chicago too. But
man, Dwayne Wade, if by chance you ever hear this podcast, man, we can use your. I'm using this as a real promo piece. I'm single, but he's back in Chicago, so I'm hoping. I'm looking forward to him being involved. And I don't know if you guys heard, but his aunt or his cousin, some family member,
his cousin got killed.
Was killed, by gun violence. So hopefully that will spark something in him. And I don't know if he's doing. I think a lot of things go uncelebrated, unnoticed. He doesn't strike me as a type that will come out and boast about all he's doing. So he may be doing a lot.
Exactly. Without us knowing.
Which should be done. Humility is dope. So if he's doing that, I applaud him for it.
And that's one of the things too. It's just that we need the help. A lot of people have this mentality of, oh, well, I'm just going to give, you know, a certain $1,000 and that's it. But it's not so much that. I think a lot of times it comes down to being a presence and showing that you're there for these kids, you know? Like you mentioned, you know, there are people that are buying Jordans out there, like, you know, where's that money coming back to the community? Maybe it is, and we don't know about it, and it's being misused somewhere else. You know, unfortunately, Chicago is very, you know, not even going to say it, but Chicago is very...
Has
a way with money, yeah.
That's a nice way of saying it.
Yeah.
But I'm glad that you're doing that within the community, and is there anything... anywhere else, like where do you see this organization going, like in 5 years?
No, I'm prayerful about everything I do. I don't think it's me at all. I don't think I know everything. But I'm hopeful that God would allow us to grow. Because clearly, Chicago needs stuff like this. We need more mentoring. We need more community involvement, more sense of community. Because when you have that sense of community that we talked about earlier, then things change. Mm-hmm. People don't litter in their own neighborhood.
Exactly.
They have ownership there. They feel like they're invested in. Then we don't see all the things that are going on when there's some sense of community. So I think this kind of model could be grown to other major cities that are experiencing some of the same things we're experiencing, like Cleveland and
Detroit.
I think this model could be used almost anywhere.
And it's kind of crazy too, because like you hit it right there when you said the sense of community. You know, we tend to criticize a lot, like, hipsters moving into, especially in the gentrification that's going on in Humboldt Park, right?
Yeah.
That's our neighborhood. We say, you know, that was our sense of owning something, right? But they have a real pretty good sense of community as well, because they take care of each other. They take it to the basics. It's like, let's learn from that as well, because that's what we need. And when you start having a sense of community, now it's not so much about, I'm going to trick on you for killing this or robbing that. It's, no, I'm not even going to do it because you're like family to me. You know what I'm saying? So you start getting that sensitivity back that was taken away, you know, and actually killing someone is killing someone, you know, as opposed to what we've been kind of, you know, desensitized to believe, you know.
The sense of community is key. You look at Pilsen kind of the same way, where gentrification is happening there. But then so many free resources and things start to open up in places like that where for some reason we don't have those same resources. I don't know if it's because I don't know why those resources aren't there, but that sense of community changes everything, and that could be contributed to the whole college experience. I think college promotes this whole thing of we live together, we play together and everything, we learn together. That's why college really is a really good tool for us to use to change our community, to increase, to make things better.
Education. So do you focus, like, is your organization focused on college readiness and, like, getting these kids? Or maybe you can share your own story about your own, like, mentoring relationship. Like, how do you?
So, yes, the organization does prepare us for, does have prepare us for college. It's right around the time when, basically, when you're in school, like, it doesn't matter which grade, you, they still show you, like, they show a process of getting you prepared for college. But mostly it's like when you start your freshman year, mm-hmm. and when you get to the end of your senior year, your freshman year, it just shows you, like, the balance of how you can, you know, go throughout your freshman, sophomore, junior year so smoothly, right. you know. And then when it comes to your junior year, to prepare you for the ACT, because that's the most important thing that colleges look at.
So it, okay.
So it does. It just goes through a process in which, like, basically, you're in high school, they just show you a process.
They start where you're at.
Just start where you're at, and basically, once it comes time to your senior year, that's mm-hmm. when they really go above and beyond. That's when the real push comes right. in. Basically, they show you, they're doing college tours, you go...
Okay, so it is very, very heavy college focus.
It's very that. They do college tours. They go show you the experiences. Like, I know last year we had, it was 587, it was Conclave, the major conference, basically mm-hmm. the 100-year centennial. Sigma Betas from all over the country, They came to Arkansas. We went to University of Little Rock. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. We stayed in the dorms. We got the experience yeah. of what college life would be. Mm-hmm. Interacting with different people yeah. across the country, you know, exploring the dynamics of the classrooms and everything. Yeah. It was, that's...
So is it like a group of mentors, or do you have like one mentor? Like, you're the mentee and you have one mentor? It's just like, it's just a group project? Like, how does this work?
So there's a whole bunch of mentors.
Okay. Okay.
One, there's chapters. There's different chapters in all over Illinois.
Okay.
So
let me differentiate real fast. So there's Hope for Better Tomorrow, who puts on the conference. Then there's Phi Beta Sigma. So he's talking about Phi Beta Sigma's structure.
Okay.
So, oh, okay.
Okay. Yeah, that's one. Yes.
No, that's okay.
So Phi Beta Sigma structure is, there are many chapters all over Illinois. Mm-hmm. There are so many mentors. So me and Richard, we are INS, Iowa New Sigma. We're part of that chapter. Mm-hmm. And I can, there's over like 20 mentors for our chapter. And so, however, there's also a director. So director, he leads Sigma Beta Club, but then there's also mentors to back him up, to, you know, help him. Not, he doesn't have to do everything.
Got
but
it.
Basically, all he has is a good foundation of brotherhood mm-hmm. and support. So there's a director, and also a whole bunch of big brothers to help out in the end.
So it's a very group-based. And again, the reason why I'm asking is, I'm, like I said, I work for a mentoring agency too, and we do the one-to-one mentoring. Yeah. And we're definitely trying to grow, like, in the South Side. We've noticed, like you were saying, that, you know, these kids are always being mentored by the right people.
Yeah.
Not always, right?
Yeah.
And so a lot of times we're just looking for more people from that community mm-hmm. to become the mentors. Because mm-hmm. Another... like, part of our organization is we have this, like, community-type-based mentoring program where, you know, anybody that wants to be a volunteer actually physically goes to that child's home, picks them up, and they go out and do things out in the community. And so our struggle is there's a lack of mentors in that community on the South Side. And then the people that do actually inquire and want to be a volunteer don't want to drive out there because of that stigma, because of, like, ugh, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And it's so unfortunate. So that's why I'm asking, like, how do you get people outside of the fraternity to want to be the mentors? And how do you get these kids engaged into something like this? Because a lot of times it's like they think of college like, oh, that's not for me.
Yeah.
Right. And they don't know what resources are available to them. So how do we encourage the kids? How do we encourage the adults to become mentors and to give back to their community, especially in the South Side?
So to add on to that, so to encourage other kids to, like, you know, join mentoring programs. So
yeah.
I can honestly say when I was in the Sigma Beta Club, each member of the Sigma Beta Club, all of us, since we go to different schools,
mm-hmm.
we just share, like, our experiences into the club. And we like, so I go to my school. When I was in high school, I go to my school. I tell all my friends. Mm-hmm. I tell all, you know, all the guys, you know, you like, you can do so much more. And I was like, Simon Petty Club not just like helps you, you know, achieve more than what you can expect. So it's basically not just colleges. They can help you out with internships or mm-hmm. full-time jobs if you want to get a sense of that, so a career path you want to get. It's not only about college. Like, you can just, you know,
having someone to talk to,
expand your horizons. Yeah, like, yeah. For what you can, mm-hmm. for what yeah. you are looking at, and right. that's what they helped me to do.
So they went out and share their experience. Is that what you're going to say? Sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off.
No, I was going to say, to answer your question too. We all know word of mouth is the best way to
yeah.
say
yeah, it. Yeah, it is. It's true. Yeah.
So even by Kendall being present with me today, people see this kind of relationship occurring. I met Kendall through our Sigma Beta Club, through Phi Beta Sigma.
Yeah.
And now outside of Phi Beta Sigma, we hope for a better tomorrow. We still have a relationship. We still can grow things. We can still do mm-hmm. things. This morning, there was a big birthday celebration for Jesse Jackson at Operation Push. In Sigma, I have a certain role, and I'm expected to be present at things like that. Mm-hmm. So I went and got one of my Sigma Betas, one of the guys who we do the group mentoring.
Mm-hmm.
But we also do one-on-one mentoring as well. So within okay. the group, you're assigned one person who's like your personal contact.
Yes.
But you
that's what
follow
we do.
Up, you interact with anybody mm-hmm. part of the group. So my one-on-one, when I picked him up, he wrote with me, sat in the program, participated in everything we did with Jesse Jackson event today. I think people seeing that attracts more people. Mm-hmm. People who are like-minded think, oh, how can I get involved?
Yeah, yeah.
That's the real selling piece. We could put things on PowerPoints and pamphlets all day long and have nice websites.
Mm-hmm.
But when people see it, or when they hear word of mouth, like when they see yeah. or hear from Kendall himself, oh, this is what I'm experiencing, I think that's the real selling piece. That's mm-hmm. what really, we got to leverage
the action behind it.
Yeah, and we just started our own youth council now because we felt like what better way yeah. to, we're a youth-serving organization, yeah. let's use the youth to help us help mm-hmm. them.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. And so I'm kind of like spearheading that with another colleague of mine. So it's just interesting to see your perspective and yeah. you know how A Hope for a Better Tomorrow got started, because yeah. this mentorship, this support system, it needs to happen.
Yep.
It needs to happen.
Especially in the communities that we're at, you know, and we tend to, you know, limit it between African American and Latino community, but just the lower, like, you know, they tend to say the lower class or poor people.
Mm-hmm.
We need that because, like I said, you know, we need to be able to know that we could move on and we could become, you know,
doctors
something.
Or exactly. lawyers or judges. Yeah. 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 That's awesome.
It becomes hard to see that when you can't really see that.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Unless you can actually see. Because where I grew up in Chatham, Sunny 9th Street, Bronzeville and everything, you don't just see a yeah. black lawyer walking on the street. Or yeah. if you do, you don't know he's a lawyer.
You, exactly.
And not just seeing it, but like giving him the tools to get there
yeah.
too.
Yeah.
You know, we can see these things, yeah, but it's like, how is anybody going to help me? Like, our last show, we were talking about, like, we can't do this alone.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
we need that guy, that mentor to get us from point A to yeah. point B.
I'll say with that, this year, and early you mentioned actually having youth or having who we are mentoring involved. So this is our first year having a youth person involved with the planning of our big conference,
yeah.
the Manhood 101
That's
conference.
That's great.
In Kendall. But this year, we're very very particular about what each session will be at our mentoring conference. So a quick layout of what the day looks like. They come in, young men come in. They participate in one big opening session as a group. They have a couple of motivational speakers or whatnot. Mm-hmm. May have some kind of entertainment. This year, we're pretty happy. Chicago Police Superintendent Eddie Johnson
nice.
Will be our keynote speaker opening the day up. It's our goal to have a marching band outside, get some excitement
nice,
going
nice.
When people first walk in, have professionals lined up, mm-hmm. doctors and lawyers and stuff, high-fiving you as you walk in so you can see people who look like you who are in other positions. Then they go out into different breakout sessions. And this
okay.
year, we're very particular about those breakout sessions. Each breakout session has a list of learning objectives. So it's not just going into a session to say, I'm in a session, but when I leave this session, I'll know this. I'll have this
yeah.
kind of skill. I'll have this kind of knowledge.
Nice.
Then we follow up with a closing session. And again, a follow up on your question earlier. Mm-hmm. It's sad, but we need incentives for things like this. So we have a
we
big
do.
Raffle.
Yeah.
So we tell the boys, hey, the first 100 men to show up, you could be into a raffle to win Chicago Bulls stickers or White Sox
oh,
stickers
okay.
or some kind of incentive so they feel like, okay, I want to go to this for this. If for no other reason, I'm going to go see if I can get me some Bulls stickers.
They'll hear something.
They'll hear
one thing.
Yeah.
I think that's the point. You
but,
know?
But I
for the Bulls.
I like to sometimes ask whether or not you think it's that So a lot of times when we say, you know, we need to get an incentive to get kids in, yeah, I know there's a couple kids in there that maybe don't want to go, but they want to go for that incentives. But I feel like a lot of kids might be overwhelmed, or they might feel like, oh, this is not for me. Yeah. I know there's a lot of kids out there, and I used to be that kid that was like shy, you know, like, no, I don't want to go and meet all these different guys. So what do we do in that situation, right?
That's a good question, because we deal with that too.
How do we get kids to come out to this? And I think for those kids, I'm sure the parents, like hitting the parents and letting the parents know, you know, hey, we got this, and then just, you know, pushing the parents to do it will be like the best way to do it.
You know, I think the answer to a lot of the social ills we face is parenting.
It
all goes back to the home.
It takes a village to raise a child, but that village has to start right there in the house. We're all here to support, but if they're not getting it at home, it's going to be tough for all of us who are in mentoring organizations or colleges or anything else to really have a real impact. So I start rambling sometimes. I forget where I was going.
So I think the question of like, how do we
get those kids
shy kids that are not all about it. Like, yeah, I'm going to be with a bunch of guys.
I want to say probably like 75% of those kids probably like kind of nervous to go out there meeting these guys they never seen before. Right. You know what I'm saying? So how do you motivate them? How do you push them?
The parenting piece is one thing. So this year we're pretty excited. We'll also have a parent resource fair, because there's a lot of resources that go unused. Even in the Chicago Police Department and Fire Department, they have youth mentoring groups, or groups where they bring young people in and teach them how to be police officers and how to be firefighters. It's our goal to get those kind of resources available to the community. And have a parent resource fair so parents can learn about this stuff. So if parents are coming, they're going to bring their child with them. So that's one piece. But we also want to make it fun. So little small things. Everybody's on Snapchat. Everybody's using filters on Snapchat. And nonprofits can use that as a tool to make it a little bit more exciting. We haven't got it yet. Dwayne Wade, again, if you're listening. Pretty sure the shy, the outspoken, everybody's going to be there. So, but that is another piece, having names, having faces that people can kind of, that they're attracted to.
So Manhood 101 conference, when is that happening?
Manhood 101 is Saturday, November 19th at University of Chicago, Donahue Charter School. People can sign up. It's a free event. It doesn't cost one thing to anybody who participates. Right. Now, I come out of pocket a lot. My mom comes out of pocket. My board members come out of pocket. But it's a free event for everybody who comes.
You have to register, though.
You have to register. So please, to register, you can visit our Eventbrite page. It's www.2016manhood101.eventbrite.com. Again, www.eventbrite.com.
We'll put the link in the podcast.
Yeah, we'll definitely put the link on the podcast so we could check it out. But that's one of the things too that I wanted to talk about quickly before we wrap the session is you tend to have a lot of fire, right? And a lot of drive to do it. I'm sure we have listeners out there, even myself sometimes, that we get down and like, man, this didn't work out. What keeps you going?
Oh man, that's a good question. What keeps me going? I'm not quite sure. I just have a deep conviction for what's right, what's good. In a world where literally we're encouraged not to have hope at every turn, poverty, poor education systems, we don't have access to different things. But if we allow that kind of thing to set in on us, if we buy into that whole thing of being hopeless or being stressed out about things, that stuff can kill us. My mom had a heart attack maybe 7 or 8 years ago, and they said a contributing factor for heart attacks is stress. So if we allow ourselves to get so stressed out by all that's going on in the world, we can kill ourselves. So we got to change our lens. So that's what I'm always, even for myself, trying to change my lens to see what's good, what's positive, what's the good side of this.
Right.
Otherwise, we literally will kill ourselves with stress and I can go on and on. I can go on to food and everything else, but we just have to be very careful about by which we carry our day-to-day lives.
Yep.
Just be hopeful. There's hope.
And I know you're a huge inspiration. It's one of our fundamentals for La Verdad, and I thank you for coming to our show, because I want other people to hear that, you know, there's a similarity between the African-American community and the Latino community, but that there's also things out there that are happening within Chicago. It's not just negative stuff happening in Chicago. Yep. So I thank you so much for coming out to our show. You know, and give me all the information. Where else can they find you online?
So based off what you just said, just a really good point. So we have and this could just be me, I hate logging on to Facebook and seeing nothing but negativity and drama and all the people breaking up and all the drama that goes on social media. So Hope for a Better Tomorrow's Facebook page is dedicated to doing the opposite. So if you find Hope for a Better Tomorrow on Facebook, it's just riddled with all the positivity that's going on in the world. Showing you positive black male role models, showing you, not even black, they are Latinos, they're Indian, and world leaders from everywhere. Just a sense of, to give you a sense of hope, give that's you great. something positive to look forward to. So check out Hope for Better Tomorrow's Facebook page. You can see it there. Christian, man, it's good seeing you, man. I'm excited for what you got going on. Yeah, and
definitely, definitely.
Thanks for having me here.
Hey, man, like I would just say, like I said earlier, you planted a seed. You know what I'm saying? So a lot of times we don't really realize it till years later, you know, where you plant a seed and it will definitely reach to other people. So I think my job now is to plant that seed to other to other young Latinos out there. So thank you guys for coming in again. Everybody that's listening, make sure you like, subscribe, share this podcast through La Verdad Podcast or laverdadltd.com. Once again, mi gente, stay safe out there.
Mi gente. That's
it. Make sure you check out Hope for a Better Tomorrow, and make sure you check out the conference, Manhood 101. And if you want to donate, go ahead and go to the Hope for a Better Tomorrow website. I'm sure they could use any type of donation.
www.hopeforbt.org.
Take care.
Link there.
Yep. Take care, mi gente. God bless.